Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema, with your host, DJ Ace, this is Cinema Wars! And welcome to another round of Cinema Wars!
Yeehaw!
This is a great round because we're switching up a bit because this is our very first team battle and someone is calling me.
Anyway,
hi, whoever's calling him.
All right, so I'm DJ Ace and this is our first ever Cinema Wars team battle. Two contestants on two teams. And with that theme, this week's question is best team-up movie. This is any movie where two characters specifically team up together to overcome a problem in a movie. So, classic example of buddy cop films, and I doubt anyone picked a buddy cop film, but we'll find out because each of them are going to give me my choice. So, team one, Brad and Matt, introduce yourselves.
I'm Brad.
I'm Matt.
That
pleasure.
That is not true. And team two, we have Anna and Chad.
Hi, I'm Chad.
I'm Anna.
Okay, that's weird. All right.
A little weird.
Brad and Matt, what movie did you pick?
We picked, we chose Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Really?
Yes.
I'm kind of curious how that's going to work, but okay. You had to pick like the longest title ever. Okay.
Too bad.
Anna and Chad, what'd you pick?
Finding Nemo.
Okay. I like it.
Wow.
All right.
All right. Sweet. All right, Brad and or Matt, tell me why you picked Harry Potter.
In the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yes.
Okay, we chose this movie because, well, first off, through the entire series or the book series, Ron and Harry have both developed together as individuals and as basically brothers, but not blood related, of course. But yeah, so they've grown up together and now they're trying to defeat a common evil, common threat. And I think it's kind of emotional in this movie because, you know, you see Ron Weasley falling in love for Hermione Granger. But he has to battle one of the Horcruxes and defeat the bad images that he sees that include his best friend Harry and his new love interest Hermione. And he holds out and he defeats he helps defeat the Horcrux and destroy it. But he did it because like he knew his friend was really trying to do good in the world, and he knew like that Harry needed his help.
And the loyalty you see between the two throughout the entire series is phenomenal. We see that even when they're angry at each other, they're doing things for each other, especially in the earlier series. But like, I think Deathly Hallows Part 1 is where we really see their relationship put to the test and survive that test.
Yes, I agree.
All right, Matt and Anna, tell me about Nemo.
Matt's not on my team, so.
Exactly. This was weird. I mean, Matt, Anna, and Chad.
Matt is not on
this
team. Get out, Matt.
I have to support.
No one wants
Brad
you here.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
All right,
I appreciate you, Brad.
For the record, your guys's, if you were a couple, your name would be Channa. I think that's hilarious.
Team
Channa.
Okay. Finding Nemo, guys.
Or just and.
Okay, moving on. Okay, Finding Nemo is like the greatest team up movie because it's because you've got these two little fish and they're teaming up to find this poor lost little fish. And aww. I just think it's such a nice movie because Chad, help me out here.
Alrighty. This is my analysis of this. Marlin and Dory have great chemistry throughout the entire movie. You see them from the very beginning, how they meet and how they interact. And it's just, there's like a complete overhaul of their character arcs throughout the entire story. At first, initially when Marlin first meets Dory, he thinks that she's very helpful and leading him in the right direction. And then he soon finds out that she's completely lost. But as the movie goes forward, Dory basically finds her way through Marlin, and when they work together,
they complement each other. Like, she's all like forgetful and whatnot, like beginning of the movie, like, I don't know what's going on, and then he's like, I am scared of everything and I'm gonna die. And then, like, throughout the movie, they help each other overcome these things, and in the end, they get Nemo back, and it's just a great team up because it works. They like swim across the ocean, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And that's no small feat for a fish.
They don't have
especially feet. Yeah, especially one with memory loss and PTSD.
All right, thank you. Wow, why has Chad never been on here before? Like, seriously,
because I avoid this.
What's wrong with
why
you?
Why do you avoid it?
He heard last week's show.
Oh my gosh. All right, now for my favorite part. We have about 10 minutes for you guys to argue why your movie is better. And since this is a team battle, you can help out or hurt each other. So this will be very interesting.
If I may. All right, so Harry Potter is one of the most beloved movie series of our generation.
All right,
the single most beloved movie series.
Okay. Hear him out, please. This is turn to talk.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. If not the most beloved movie series of our generation. And The Deathly Hallows Part 1 is the beginning of this climactic finish of the greatest movie, possibly the greatest movie series of our generation. Marlon and Dory don't even like each other.
Yes, they don't like each other.
At the end, okay, the last 5 to 10 minutes of the film.
The friendship is what develops over the course of the film.
Excuse me really quick. I understand that they have a lot of problems throughout the movie, Dory and Marlon, but Ron and Harry have had struggles through 8 movies and 7 books.
Okay, but the question wasn't what 8 movies
of teamwork.
This is the build up. We're not talking about the entire Harry Potter series.
Okay,
we're just talking about Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Okay, so with Deathly Hallows Part 1, you see Ron Weasley storm off in the woods, and he's completely almost had it with his best friend for, what, like 6-7 years, and he's about to just call it quits and, like, go home and, you know, succumb to the dark forces of Lord Voldemort. But then he decides to go back and save Harry and Hermione from the Horcrux and with the sword, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in Finding Nemo, when Marlin gets angry at Dory, what happens is a bunch of random fish come up and they have to cheer her up, and then they just kind of go on. You know, they don't actually really fight or there's no loyalty there. Whereas you see,
I'm pretty sure there was a lot of loyalty in that jellyfish scene when, like, he could have just left. He could have been like, yep, later.
Ron could have left too. But I think that Ron was looking out for Harry.
Ron was corrupted by the Horcrux.
Yes, but he still persevered through it, didn't he not? So I'm pretty sure he did.
He may have, but the only reason he left in the first place is because he had that, was it a necklace? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? It was okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the necklace. He had the necklace on. It was basically making him be that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas
just like
in Finding Nemo, these two characters were doing this. They didn't have anything that was really like corrupting them, so to say. They mm-hmm. had their own like challenges, and they had to figure it out like for themselves, essentially. And mm-hmm. there wasn't anything I don't want to say causing. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, Ron overcame. I know what you're saying, okay. but Ron overcame the dark forces through that necklace. Pulling in another franchise here, just for reference, Lord of the Rings, Frodo didn't do it nearly as well as Ron did. Freaking Frodo lost a finger and almost got thrown into lava. But Ron over here, he ended up saving the day by himself, almost by himself, but with the help of Harry right by his side saying, just do it, end it. And he destroyed the necklace or whatever.
But can we appreciate how in Finding Nemo, Dory ended up saving the day because of how she partnered up with Marlin in the first place? Because Marlin basically was like, oh, okay, he's dead. And then, like, understandably, he looked dead. But, like, and then in the end, Dory was like, oh, wait, I don't know who this kid is. And then because of, like, all she had been through with Marlin through that whole, like, friendship thing or whatever, then in the end she did remember and it saved the day.
Well, I mean, Harry helped Ron just as much. He was listening to the Horcrux and the visions through the Horcrux, but then he heard Harry's voice say, just finish it, don't listen to that, and then Ron defeated the Horcrux with the Gryffindor sword or whatever. Brad, do you have anything to say?
No, mostly we're... the only thing I might add is that we've been talking a lot about what Harry's been doing for Ron, but what Ron does for Harry is that not only does he come back, but he helps Harry do the whole fulfill his destiny thing, yeah. Which is the kind of hero thing. Yeah. But also, Ron is constantly backing Harry's play. Yeah. The way that Marlin is specifically not in Finding Nemo.
But they all Marlin still is doing is
all yeah. They stick together because Dory just follows him around.
Yep.
Dory sticks with Marlin the way a stalker sticks with a victim. Just kind of
not really.
He physically cannot move her. We see the amount of force that he's able to exert in that movie is like a gentle push, maybe.
Well, because he knows he needs help to find his son. I mean, he obviously can't
yeah,
do that.
But from the moment he finds out that she has any sort of memory issue, he abandons her. He attempts to, at least. Yeah. She doesn't really let him do that.
Well, yeah, but that's like,
and
part
they
of
don't
the
really become
of...
friends until the very end of the movie. If they're
but
really
so...
friends and not just like Marlin taking pity on Dory because of her handicap.
Okay. I think I would be friends with somebody if they helped me find my lost family member. I mean, let's be real here. Wouldn't
the
you?
Only reason that she counts as helping is because she follows him.
She counts as helping because she's the one that ends up finding Nemo in the end.
And Ron helps save the world, does he not? Pretty sure he does.
Oh, bam.
The Wizarding World, not all of the worlds.
Well, the Wizarding World's a little more powerful than the Muggle World, so...
But a small handicapped child was saved in Finding
Nemo. Also, the whole world, because they talk about how Voldemort wants to go into the Muggle World and kind of enslave it.
Yeah.
And so if...
You're a really bad teammate, Chad. You are not helping me whatsoever. Speaking to...
They're turning on each other.
Yeah, you can speak up, Chad.
Okay.
Ganging up on me here.
What I would say is that Finding Nemo's entire concept is to find Nemo, but it's the journey that's more important than the destination. And the entire purpose Dory serves is to serve as a sort of conflict and teach Marlin lessons. Like, Dory's the one that taught Marlin throughout the entire thing not to be so sheltered and open to everything.
Not to be open to things?
To be open.
Oh, to be open to
yes.
things.
Because at the very beginning of the movie, Marlin,
okay, so
after the attack,
that's a really nice
Nemo.
Lesson and whatever, but it's not really all that useful when you're confronting real problems.
It is
they
a real problem.
They were confronting
he was
real problems.
Child.
Being trapped in the storm of jellyfish is probably a problem in the fish world.
Okay.
It'd be a problem in the human
world.
Is there,
I don't think there's a love triangle between Dory, Nemo and Nemo's dad, but you switch over to Harry Potter.
We're not
and
talking about
Harry
love.
Potter and the Deathly Hallows. You see a very strong love triangle between Emma Watson, Daniel Radcliffe, and
Rupert Grint,
and that you know it escalates when Harry and Hermione are dancing, and you see a lot of romantic tension there, and like that probably adds to the reason why Ron storms off, and that adds to the visions that he sees. With through the Horcrux, and then, you know, Ron puts all of his emotions aside to make sure he was looking at the bigger picture, and he defeated the Horcrux not just for Harry, but for society.
Okay, but in Finding Nemo, it's not even just like about Marlin and Dory and their teamwork. I think can we appreciate the teamwork that goes into the tank fish and Nemo and helping the whole escape thing? There was some teamwork in there, was there not?
That's very true.
Exactly.
Are we switching characters up now?
No,
we can too. I mean, it's fine.
Oh, if you yeah. want to, go right ahead.
All right,
ahead.
You
want to
talk about Snape and Harry team up?
Let's talk about Snape.
Let's
talk about Snape and
no.
Dumbledore.
Let's not.
Okay.
Stay on target, please.
I mean, that could be a target. We're talking about the movie.
Yeah,
you know,
it's still
not
the same
necessarily.
Movies.
Yeah, we are.
I'm just keeping you on track. Thank you.
All right, what I would say is that basically every major plot point of the movie is solved throughout
sheer luck.
No,
it's pretty much luck.
It's really not.
The only reason they get out of the jellyfish thing is because he goes so fast and he passes out right at the moment he reaches the end. If there had been 10 more jellyfish, they would have died. The only reason they get out of the shark thing is
because
they're able to go so fast.
Because Dory's able to help him read.
Do you think it wasn't lucky that Harry didn't die the first, like, however many times he got attacked with the Avada Kedavra thing?
I mean, Dobby died. So
yeah. Well, yeah, but we're not
dramatic.
Talking
There's,
about Dobby. No, we're
Marlin's
not. Remember,
I'm staying on track. Harry and Dobby were also, you could consider them as team up.
Hey, if we can't have the fish tank team, you can't have Harry and Dobby.
I mean, we just.
So quit trying to get me off topic.
I'm not, but you guys are already off topic.
No, we're not.
We were a little bit off topic.
All right. Yeah. That is all we have time for, but that was very good, guys. That was enjoyable, actually. We might have to try this again in the future.
I'm done.
Nemo sucks.
But as you all know, there can only ever be one. So
no, there's two technically today.
There are two technically today.
So there can only be two.
But one. No. We're actually going to
Siamese twins
split the point between two. You know, I'm just kidding.
They're all mine.
Let's see. You all had some good points. Ultimately, though, I am going to have to give it to the Brad and Matt team up.
Woo! Woo!
But you two have a chance to redeem yourself.
We do.
For the speed round.
Okay.
You're
a track runner. You're fast. Put your skills into it.
I don't have to. I just need coffee. Skills, I can go
the very mysterious
very
speed round. Right. So
ever seen Over the Hedge?
Huh? Oh yes.
I love that.
Are you
movie.
Like that squirrel when they
yes.
give him coffee?
Oh my
and
god.
Time right. slows and he's just kind of walking.
Yes.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
So. We're doing the speed round a little differently. Instead of one question, we're actually going to go through a series of five, and whoever does best with out of five is going to get the second point today, all right? So you're going to nominate someone for these because they're basically choice questions, so the first person to shout their choice gets that choice. The other person gets the leftover option. You get 15 seconds each to argue for your pick, and then I will choose a winner. Sound good?
I'm not going to lie, I blanked out there a little bit.
I got most of it.
All right, so you're going to say the question.
I understand. Continue.
I have, yeah. All right.
No.
Just, it's their fault just as understand. A test run. Test run. You marathon one of these two things, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter?
Harry Potter.
Lord of the Rings.
Never
she
seen
gets
either.
Harry Potter, you get Lord of the Rings. She argues for 15 seconds, you argue for 15 seconds, I choose one of you.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But that was just a test, right?
That was a test.
Okay. So I've never seen Lord of the Rings, so I can't argue.
We have to pick either him or me to talk.
Yeah, only one of you needs to shout. Only one person from each team needs to shout an answer.
All right, how about one of us shouts and then one of us...
explains?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you guys want to swap out each time, that works too.
Yeah,
okay.
If you have a thought,
just that way we have...
Okay. Do you want to do it first?
Whoever shouts is doing the explanation.
Oh, okay.
All right, well.
Just make sure you're shouting the same thing. That's just why you need to nominate someone each time. All right, sound good?
Yep.
All right. So this is best out of five once again. Starting, well, it doesn't start with anybody. All right, so here we go.
Who's going first? You got it?
Yeah, I'll go all right. first, if you don't mind.
Who wins in the fight, Fantastic Four or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Every time.
Well, no.
Every time. 300 out of 300 fights, okay. They win.
Okay. Well, hold up. Okay. All right, Brad.
Thank you for letting me go first.
Of course.
15 seconds, watch TMNT. All
right. Super Mutant Kung Fu. Essentially bulletproof backs. We've seen them survive everything from crazed alien warlord invasions to super...
And you're done. Okay.
Super Chad, Ninja Samurai attacks and they can survive that.
Fantastic Four?
Okay. Well, basically, any one of the Fantastic Four could take on any four of the Ninja Turtles because the Ninja Turtles don't even have powers. They just know how to do Kung Fu well.
Being a mutant Ninja Turtle is...
This is my time to speak. The Thing could just beat any of them. End.
Okay. Brad, you're passionate, but I'm gonna give it to Chad.
Come on, man! What is that nonsense?
Can you explain your reasoning?
Yes,
no,
please.
I don't need to. These are fast rounds, my man. Fast rounds.
I'm ready.
All right, next one.
That's a bit weird.
These two movies are playing on TV. You can only watch one of them, so which would you watch? Remember the Titans or Radio?
Remember the Titans.
Radio. What's radio?
That's why I picked
one
about
the
what
Cuba
we're doing
Gooding
right
Jr.
now.
Plays
what?
Cuba Gooding Jr. plays the black. I think he's got autism kid. Who tries to join a football team and.
Wait, that's Rudy.
No.
That's not Rudy.
Yeah,
oh,
it is.
Right. One of Junior's these the movies, guy. So you're all
right. Wait. Radio is... Wait. Hold on a second. What's the movie with the guy...
I think our 15
seconds
don't
know
are
it,
up.
You don't know it, man. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Chad.
Okay.
Why Remember the Titans?
Ugh.
Well, first and foremost, I would say that it's just a very inspiring story, and it's basically what anyone turns to when they want to watch an inspiring story, especially one for football. And it's just basic go-to movie.
All right, you're done. Matt, Radio.
Pass.
Okay.
You had one job, Matt.
We just got to win the rest here out.
Yep. This one's not a choice. This is an open-ended, but there's only set things you can choose. Sound good?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Just roll with it.
You get a few seconds to shout your answer.
I don't even remember the plot of Remember the Titans.
they have to remember the Titans because they forgot.
I forgot.
Okay, obviously. All right, next question. Out of all the movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which one's the best?
Deadpool.
That's not an option.
Why is that not an option?
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Deadpool is
owned
by Fox, right?
Made
now.
By Disney.
Shabam!
Try
The Avengers.
The Avengers, you get 2 seconds, man.
Iron Man.
Okay.
I was
going
to go with it.
If you want to get it.
Nah, you said it first.
Okay.
Okie dokie. 15 seconds, Brad, starting new.
All right, Avengers was so original in its ability to be the first movie to team up all these different superheroes and do them all both individually well and together as a team to show what potential people have when they team up. And also, like...
You're done.
Can I say 2 more words?
No, you can't. I'm
two
sorry.
More words.
You just said 2 more words.
Puny God.
Okay. Iron Man. Why Iron Man?
Okay, basically any of the Iron Man movies. I would just say that Avengers focuses way too broadly on any of the characters, and it's basically just a glorified show-off of all the characters they've built up. And Iron Man just gives Tony Stark just so much personality, and it's actually witty.
All right,
and the humor's
you're
great.
Done. Sorry, but I'm going to have to give this to Avengers. All right. There's 2 questions. I have 2 left.
Wait, what?
If Team 2 wins another point, they win. But if Team 1 can win the next 2, they win.
Got this.
I still contest your first ruling.
Still contest your face.
All right, here we go. I'll give you a few seconds to decide, but this one's also open-ended. The zombie apocalypse happens. What movie character do you want in your squad?
Batman.
Superman.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I knew it was your, but
no,
I...
No, that was a good idea.
PBS right here. Okay. All right. Who said Batman first?
I did.
All right.
She did.
Why Batman?
Okay. Well, first of all, zombies can't see very well in the first place, I would assume, and so they're probably not going to see Batman coming at them. And Batman's basically a ninja, so there you have it. I mean, who wouldn't want Batman in the zombie apocalypse?
All right, Brad, you can start.
There's literally no reason not to have Superman. He has every power imaginable and then some that will only be imagined later on. And Batman has to get close to zombies. In a lot of zombie universes, you have to have blood spilled on you to become a zombie. Batman is not going to be able to kill the zombies effectively the way Superman would be. And Superman is just kind of cooler.
No, he's not.
All right, I'm ultimately going to have to give this one to Superman. Which brings us to a total tie with this last question.
All right, bring it on.
So whoever wins this wins, all right?
You ready, Chad?
Yeah.
Okay, you better be.
You're going to hate this, all right?
I'm going to hate you.
Okay.
Get ready.
All right. Okay. Both these movies are playing. You can only watch one of them. Batman and Robin or Batman Forever?
Batman Forever.
Batman and Robin.
All right. Let's see. You said Forever?
Yep.
Is Forever Val Kilmer? Or is and Forever...
Batman Robin. And Robin has Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, right?
Batman and Robin is nipple Batman.
That's a great one.
All right. Forever can start now.
Can we... get it. Never mind.
All right. So you have a great. You don't have a great story, but you have a good enough story.
Wow.
The thing is, Batman and Robin is not any bit better. But it's the one of Val Kilmer, right? So the one of Val Kilmer, he's actually right there with Michael Keaton in the old series. And I love the Batmobile in that series, or in that movie was actually pretty decent. The story was all right.
Batman and Robin.
Okay, I would say that Batman and Robin is basically the polar opposite of what you would want to see in The Dark Knight. It's just completely a fun time, and it just enjoys itself and doesn't take itself seriously, and it's anyone could really watch it and have fun watching it. It's not gritty or anything.
It's a classic.
It's just hilariously fun to watch.
You're done. It all comes down to this moment. You guys are
vicious.
See,
I can't speak.
I would ask for the other people's opinions, but you're just going to pick your side anyway, so it doesn't matter. Mm. We'd just be stuck with what we have.
It's your opinion that we value. Unless it's the wrong opinion.
You mean in which case, so much you're to wrong. Us?
Honestly.
All right. I have come to my decision, but ultimately.
Is it a good decision?
We are going to have to give it to.
I'll be the decision.
Batman Forever.
Wow. That was a bad decision.
It's just because I said Val Kilmer, dude. Val Kilmer saved it.
No,
Batman Forever is the better movie, but I made a better argument.
All right. That is the conclusion good points, of the first team up battle. Let us know if you want to see more team up battles. Let us know if you like the new speed round formula. And the next 2 weeks are the semifinals. So stay tuned for that only here on Cinema Central.
The battle is done, but the war is far from over. Tune in next week for the next engagement here on Cinema Central.